1-800-449-8686. This yep. is the Phil Hendry Show.
You eating?
I'm having some of their pot roast they have here. Like.
And we're on. Okay, Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Please join me in welcoming my guest, Stephen Bozell, a construction contractor from Corona, California. Mr. Bozell, I'm going to read something here, and then I'd like you to comment, and you're familiar with this. I'm letting my audience in on some of the particulars of this, okay?
Absolutely.
This lawsuit is filed in response to a... You've filed a lawsuit in response to a frivolous... what you call a frivolous sexual harassment suit brought by a member of your company. Is that correct?
She was a worker in my office staff, yes, sir. And the lawsuit that she brought is a frivolous sexual harassment suit. She worked for me from September 2003 to early January 2004. My feeling and the feeling of my attorney, people are tired of these frivolous lawsuits, and we are going to stamp them out once and for all. She created a hostile work environment for me. If anybody doesn't have a frivolous lawsuit, I'm the one who doesn't have it. She has the frivolous lawsuit.
All right, you say her charge of sexual harassment of you, that is false. That is frivolous.
I did not sexually harass this woman, no, sir.
You are, however, suing her for creating a hostile... Then this is an employee.
Yes, sir.
You're suing her for creating a hostile work environment. Tell me what happened.
First of all, I want to get some legal housekeeping out of the way, if you will. She engaged in insulting and hurtful behavior that subjected me to ridicule and the highest levels of, you know, bad feeling. And my attorney, Dolores Blasingame, has filed a suit in Superior Court.
All right, let me get to the story. She alleges that you sexually harassed her.
I did not. She led me to believe that she was sexually interested in me. And when I acted on the basis of that information, she told me that she was lying about it.
Well, you say she left you a present on your desk? First of all, she's an employee. How old is she?
Ms. Reed's 22.
And she left you a present?
Yes, sir, that's correct.
What was it?
Well, I came into work morning of January 7, and at that time I found a bottle of Scope mouthwash on my desk, which is a mouthwash, and I found out from Jeannie, who's our office manager, that...
Now that's Ms. Melendez?
That is correct, Jeannie Melendez.
Okay.
That Melissa had given me the bottle of Scope, and it was well known, obviously, that gifts of personal items like that, you know, signal a person's, you know, wanting to have, you know, love on you, or love with you, or whatever. And
did you feel she was in love with you? Or?
No, I had no idea. I knew she was interested in me. Now I'm a married man, and I wanted to let her know that even though I wasn't available, I appreciated and was flattered by her interest.
Okay.
But I'm a 40-year-old man, and to have a young woman, you know, interested in you is very flattering.
Okay. Now, she alleges it's what you did at the desk that was harassment, correct?
Well, I don't know. We contend she was angry at me for turning her down, and I think you'll see.
What did you do? Let's get to that.
As I said, I wanted to let her down easy, so I came over to her. Her back was to me. Her desk faces toward the street, toward our windows in our office, so I could see... you know, her bra strap through her blouse, which many times women's bra straps are evident through their blouses.
Okay.
So I gave her bra strap a snap, a very, very playful thing to do. Nothing was hurtful, certainly. Very friendly. And I said to her at that time, too bad, I'm married.
You snapped her bra strap?
Yes, sir, but I don't know how long it's been since you've been single, Mr. Henry. That's very standard. That's very playful. That's nothing. That's not, no, you know, you can't call that nothing.
Now, she confronted you. You snapped her bra strap, and you said, too bad I'm married. And this is after she left you this gift on your desk.
That is correct.
This gift of Scope mouthwash.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Now, she confronted you, right?
Yes, sir. About a half hour later, our office manager told me that Ms. Reed was in her office crying. I went, and she accused me of sexually harassing her, and I told her. And I should not have, but I said, you were the one who gave me the gift. And then the one thing I should never have done is I did call her a word, which I don't know if you want.
Well, you called her a whore.
Yes, sir, I did. Because all of a sudden she says I sexually harassed her, and she's given me love, you know, love gifts.
Okay, and now Ms. Reed contends in her suit that the bottle of Scope, sir, was placed on your desk by her because she said you had offensive breath, and she was trying to anonymously tell you this without embarrassing you. All right, and
well, sir,
hold on. She acknowledges that the office manager should not have told you that it was her that put the bottle on the desk, but she was not. She alleges coming on to you sexually.
Well, you know, okay, that's about the 5 millionth time I've heard that. That's what she says. But I can tell you, look, I brush my teeth every morning, so I don't, you know, you can't say that I got bad breath or what have you. My attorney tells me this is typical of spurned young women. They want to talk smack about you like they'll, you know, like they tell their girlfriends. My understanding is they'll tell, you know, their girlfriends your penis is really small and all of that when it's really normal sized. And there was a movie out, Mr. Henry, back a while back called Fatal Attraction. I don't know if it was in all the papers, about a woman that wouldn't leave a man alone. And this is a woman trying to ruin a home life that I have and possibly hurt me in the process because I wouldn't get together with her. You know, and...
All right, I'm going to put our phone number out there. I want to hear more of your story, Mr. Bozell, okay?
Yes, sir.
Our number is 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. It seems to me she gave you, we know this much, a bottle of Scope, which you call a gift of an affectionate gift.
Yes, sir.
And you snapped her bra and said, too bad I'm married. Now, the response to both of those events seems to be different. The bottle of Scope that she says she put on your desk because your breath was bad. And
please understand also, if you don't mind me, you know, interrupting, this is extremely hurtful and humiliating to be talked about like this.
I can well imagine, sir, and but I just want to get the facts clear. You believe it to be an affectionate gift that a person gives to another person when they are interested in them.
Well, I'm 40 years old, Mr. Henry. I work in the construction field. I don't have to lift weights. I don't have to go swimming. I don't have to go to the gym like a lot of these other pasty white office boys do. I'm out in the sun every day. Good looking for a 40-year-old man. But I'm loyal to my wife and I'm faithful to my wife. So I'm trying to let this girl down gently. And what I get from my problems and going out and saying nice, you know, trying to let her down gently is she calls me a sexual harasser. I mean, first of all, she's okay looking. She's not great looking. I mean, she is young, and that's a plus, and she's got a, you know, I guess you'd say a nice body or what have you, but, I mean, if I wanted her in my life, I don't need to, you know, I don't.
All right, but you were not sexually harassing her.
No, sir, I was not.
And yet, you could see, perhaps, how some might take it that way because snapping a woman's bra strap?
That's playful office behavior that has nothing to do with sexual harassment. You have to understand something. I'm an employer, so I know. Number one, sexual harassment, you got to touch her private part or squeeze something or whatever. And this whole story of hers about my breath is wrong. She's mad because I shunned her. She's mad because I won't, you know, have no sex with her. And number two, sexual harassment, you got to, like, stick your hand right on it or something. I didn't do any of that. All I did was snap a bra strap, and I said to her, too bad I'm married, which is my way of saying, you know, better luck next time, okay, because I'm taken. And instead what I get is this.
Is it possible you say you don't have bad breath?
No, sir, I do not. I brush my teeth every morning.
Do you smoke? Do you?
No, sir. I do not smoke. I chew occasionally. Chew tobacco. And
do you eat? Is there anything?
No, sir. I mean, I have a Caesar salad every now and again. That's about it. I do not have bad breath. And
you know, it's funny about breath. And I don't want to go down this road too much, but we really don't know what our breath smells like. You know, it's funny. I mean, we may think we have breath like lilacs, and someone will just kind of wilt. You know?
No, I do a quick breath check in the morning. I'll put my hands in front of my mouth, like a lot of people do. I'll just blow into it, go, yeah, it's fine, or whatever, you know, or I'll go and...
Do you buy Clorets? Do you buy mints?
I think you're getting sidetracked, sir. I think you're really getting...
It just appears to me to be an odd gift to give someone who, you know, is affectionate towards somebody, you know?
Well, you have not been out in the single world for a long time, Mr. Henry. People give gifts all the time, all different things. She gave me the bottle of Scope. I read that to mean, you know, I'd like to have this bottle of my scope in your bathroom, you know. And, it's like, I'd like to get into your bathroom, that kind of thing. So.
All right, well, we know this much. And hold on, Mr. Bozell. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. Stephen Bozell claims he's being frivolously sued for sexual harassment when he snapped the bra strap of a young employee of his and said to her, "Too bad I'm married," after he found she had given him a bottle of scope. She claims she was sexually harassed and that the bottle of scope was not a gift of affection, but that he has foul breath, and she was trying to anonymously let him know that. He isn't buying it. He says this is typical of spurned young women. And the sad part about all of this is they are countersuing. They're suing each other. She's suing for sexual harassment. He's countersuing her for creating a hostile work environment. And I'll tell you this much. There is a lot of states now have frivolous lawsuit centers where you can just literally, it gets remanded there by the court. You know something? This is chicken crap. We're not hearing. We're going to send it over to this court. This involves sexual harassment, but he claims she's lying. And the thing of it is, it's not a he said, she said, because there were witnesses. There was an office manager, etc. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. Will be right back.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Kittens are tasty. The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Mr. Bozell, we're back with Steve Bozell. Before we get to our calls, you believe that sexual harassment...
Well, first of all, let me say, I'm an employer of a standard, so I know what sexual harassment is. Sexual harassment, you may not touch on, you know, a woman's body. You can't touch her, you know, her butt or anything. You can't touch her boobs. You know, you can say... Just about you can say anything you want. I mean, you can talk about, you know, going around the world, all 69 states, if you want to.
All right, sir. Let's just keep that off of the table.
But what I'm saying is, you can say it, and you want. But I know you snapping a bra strap is not sexual harassment. I snapped my daughter's bra strap. My daughter is 11 years old, she's 12 years old. She's got these new training bras, and I love my daughter very much. I snap her bra strap all the time. Okay, and the other thing is that this woman, this Miss Reed, is claiming she was sexually assaulted 3 years ago, and because of me, all these feelings are coming back, and that's the biggest load that I've ever heard in my life. They always, you know, come up with that one, too.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Let's go to Frank. Hi, Frank, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hey.
Yes, sir.
The guy, you over the line, fella. You know, I think that if you're an employer, you...
Yes, sir.
If someone leaves some scope on your desk, and that would just simply tell you that you maybe need to check your breath. That's a nice way of saying, hey, check your breath. That would make me think that the woman want me to take that scope and want it to be in my bathroom so she can be there. And if you pop your daughter's bra strap, that's cute for a little girl, but this is a grown woman. Walking up behind her and popping her bra strap, I think you was completely cross the line. Sexual harassment don't have to be touching. You can just say things. Certain things you say can be sexual harassment.
Can I
if you're an employer, you should know that.
This is exciting for me. I want to ask a question because I'm a huge fan. Is this Arthur Prysock?
The what?
Are you Arthur Prysock, sir? I'm a huge fan of Arthur Prysock, the man who did Here's the Good Friends, Tonight's Kind of Special, The Lowenbrow.
This isn't Arthur Prysock. It's Frank.
Nah.
Oh, all right. I'm sorry, sir. But see,
I just think you went over the line when you touched the bra strap or anything. If you'd walked up to it and asked if she gave it to you, and if she said yes, then you don't know. But a scope, now if she'd have left some candy on your desk or some motion lotion or something, that might have been telling you something. But scope, mouthwash.
Frank, can you just do me a favor and sing Sweet Low Sweet Chariot? Because
the gentleman is calling.
I'm talking to you about your situation.
Yeah.
I think you just stepped over the line. I think you just went too far with that. You know, popping the bra strap, you don't do that to a grown woman. You know, your daughter, yeah, you might do that to your daughter. You play with her. That's fun. She's a little girl. But a grown woman, that's a different ball game. So you I think you just stepped over the line, man. You need to admit that and learn from it.
It's about 7 years ago, my wife and I saw Showboat at the Amundsen Theater.
Will you stop already with this?
What's that got to do with anything? I'm talking about
sorry. It reminds me of Old Man River. And that.
This man is talking to you about...
I see that you're not hearing anything,
no, sir,
so I'm going to go, but I think,
no, I know
I think
what
you got some problems, man. You got some problems.
Well, wait, let me ask this. What do you mean a bottle of Scope means I have bad breath? I mean, the people...
If someone anonymously leave that on your desk, you're going to think that, and you find out as a woman left it on your desk, and it tells you that she likes you? You got problems, brother.
I would think that that means she has great affection for me.
Nah, well, you got. I would think you got problems. You need to go get some counseling because you're off base. You way off base.
So, Frank, you think he misread this?
You're way off base.
All right, thank you, Frank. 1-800-449-8686. Here's Brandy. Brandy, go ahead.
Hi, I just wanted to make a comment and just offer my condolences to you because it is sad that you mistook
a bottle
of Scope as a peak of interest from someone.
Yes, ma'am.
So it is a frivolous sexual harassment case from your point of view.
Yes, ma'am.
But from hers, you came and popped her bra out. That is out of line. And my question to you is, what makes you think that a bottle of Scope means I love you, I want to be with you, I like you, I have whatever interest in you?
Okay, let me ask you this. When you give a gift to a man, I don't care what it is, it means I have interest in your life, don't it? It does.
She has interest. Obviously, the people in the workplace had an interest with your breath.
Well,
it was offending them. A bottle of Scope?
Ma'am, it wasn't all the people in the workplace, just this young lady.
Did you work with her?
I work with her on drafts and on a plan, yes, sir.
So you work with her closely when you're going over drafts and plans?
Well, we have a drafting table, and our architects will come in with her basic layouts, and she's the one who coordinates that. So, yeah, she's
there. And so you're talking in her face?
Okay.
Okay,
I don't see the connection, no, ma'am.
You don't see the Scope is for rinsing out your mouth when your breath smells bad.
Okay, but
and that's what you have on your desk, so that would be the only use for the Scope.
Yes, ma'am, but here's the
deal. Why would you think that someone had interest in you beyond anything else but your breath smelling bad?
Well, because, now here's the key. I brush my teeth every morning. Okay.
Maybe you have halitosis or something. Maybe you need to do something else. Maybe you know what? You might have a piece of chicken stuck in the back of your teeth somewhere, and that makes your breath smell bad whether you brush your teeth or not because
well,
you got poop right in your mouth.
Well, ma'am, I use floss, and I can assure you that's not the case.
Well, so, something is the case.
Yeah, the lady has a sexual interest in me, which
no,
I just
that's
heard.
Not the case. That's not it, and I'm so sorry that you think
all
that.
Right. So if it was for your breath, let's just say it was for your breath, Mr. Bozell, would you see how she would misunderstand you snapping her bra strap?
Well here's
exactly.
The thing. Well, but here's the thing. Snapping a bra strap is a fun thing. Every kid does
but
it.
But if you didn't want
fun.
Her to have any
yeah, I could do it to you.
Why would you even touch her in that area?
Man, this is a double standard. I'm supposed to understand that bottle of Scope means I have bad breath, but she isn't supposed to understand me giving her a little bra strap means... You know, you got a nice pair, but I'm married.
Because she gave
oh my
it to you because
God.
Your breath smelled bad.
Oh, and I'm snapping her bra because she's got a nice set, but I'm married and I'm not, you know, can't do it.
Because she's got a nice set. Do you understand, Steve?
Well, it was Scope with plaque remover, and you only give that to people, I mean, come on, you're not going to give that to just anybody. Would you?
It's only people who have bad breath. That's what I'm trying to get across.
No, with plaque remover? No, that's a very intimate gift.
All right, listen. Oh, man.
Well, sir, Mr. Renner, you know, you can laugh if you want, but this has put me out tens of thousands of dollars, and my family has...
That's why I apologize.
Right.
I offer my condolences because
well,
you took that the wrong way.
Brandy, you're very kind, and thank you for calling. We have to take a break. 1-800-449-8686. Mr. Stephen Bozell is being sued for sexual harassment. He snapped a girl's bra strap after she gave him a bottle of Scope. He thought it was a love gift, but it was because she's got bad breath, and he thinks he's being sued frivolously. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Define prostitute. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Back with Stephen Bozell, a construction contractor from Corona, California, who received a bottle of Scope from an employee. He thought it was a gift of affection, and went over to her desk and snapped her bra strap in a playful way to say, thank you, but I'm married. She, in turn, sued for sexual harassment, saying, I wasn't intending to give you a love gift. I gave you scope because you have bad breath. Mr. Bozell doesn't believe that. He believes that she was very much interested in him because he doesn't have bad breath. You claim you brush your teeth in the morning.
Let me also explain, Phil, about the bra strap snapping, because there's a lot of people who are confused about that. As I've said, it's not sexual harassment if you just snap a bra strap. You have to, for sexual harassment, you got to go up and get a hand, you know, I mean, you got to get a handful of it, you know, more or less. But you snap the bra of a woman, you smack a guy on the rear end, it's all the same thing. It's basically to say to her, hey, you know what, you're one of us now, you're an equal. I don't care if you got a set, you know, a pretty good looking set or whatever.
And when you throw in that phrase, I don't care if you got a pretty good looking set, suddenly it becomes a sexual issue.
No, it does not, sir. I'm an employer, I know. And you tell me where it's written that you can't snap a woman's bra strap as a way to make her feel equal, and I stand corrected.
And you snap the front of the bra, not the back.
Yes, sir.
So to get a hold of the front of a woman's bra through her blouse, man, you really got to be digging in there.
Well, I defer to the expert. I mean,
I don't need your smart-ass comments, sir. I've never done that myself.
Well, what do you mean I got to dig in there? You reach into the blouse through the opening, between the buttons. There's an opening there.
So you stuck your finger into a woman's blouse, snapped the front of her bra strap, and you claim that that was a statement of equality.
Yes, sir, but I am, and I'll tell you something else, I'm getting tired of people saying it's sexual harassment. I was the one.
You were the one that was what?
I was the one that... Forget it.
1-800-449-8686. Rebecca, go ahead. Rebecca?
Hi.
Yes, ma'am, go ahead.
I just want to say the definition of sexual harassment is not only a physical... if you make someone feel uncomfortable physically by touching them, but also mentally or verbally. Whether or not you said something or snapped her bra strap, that is sexual harassment. Especially if it's from the front area. If you reach in through her blouse, then you're pretty much grabbing for something in general.
I didn't grab for a
boob. It's the definition. You can't get any more clear-lined about sexual harassment than that.
Well, let me ask this. If a man feels uncomfortable by me shaking his hand, am I going to get sued for sexual harassment?
If he feels like suing you for sexual harassment and you made him feel uncomfortable, then yes, he can.
Okay, that's
but
frivolous. Just like shaking a man's hand, as you know, is not sexual harassment any more than snapping a woman's bra strap. That's ridiculous.
Okay, first of all...
And I'm going to put an end to it with my attorney, Dolores Blasengame of Riverside, California, who has drawn up the papers.
Okay, first of all, the definition, as I said, of sexual harassment is not only a physical but verbal thing. Obviously, verbally, you did not sexually harass her. You let her know clearly that you were married. However,
that's right.
Physically, you snapped her bra, and now hearing that you reached in from the front of her blouse,
you have
that
to.
Isn't any more clearly sexual harassment than my name is Rebecca. I mean, you can't
get
any more clear.
Okay, so what do we got here, Rebecca? What did you get, an A last year in your first law course at, what was it?
I don't need your smart-ass comments.
Well,
you chose to come onto the radio
exactly.
to ask for people's opinions.
Exactly.
I'm giving you my opinion.
But I had to
my opinion is, obviously you have bad breath, so she chose to get you some scope. And because of that,
so you're taking her side because she's a woman.
And her hitting on you. She wasn't hitting on you. She was politely saying, you need to brush your teeth more often.
Look, I had to put an end to this fantasy of hers.
Because you snapped the front of her bra?
No,
that's completely inappropriate.
Man,
and I'm sorry that you can't see that that's inappropriate.
Okay. I know you're practicing to be on L.A. Law and all them other shows.
No, actually, I'm not. I'm 23 years old. I'm a year older than her. And if I were in that situation, I would have sued you for all that you had and put you out of business.
All right.
Because what you did was completely inappropriate.
You're going to sue me for all that I have because I snapped your bra strap.
You did not reach in to the front of a woman's blouse and snap her bra strap.
Look, I had to put an end to this fantasy of hers. The next thing you know, she's following me home, following my family into Chewy's and taking yoga with my wife. You want that?
Hold on. What did you say, Steve?
I don't want this woman following me and my families into Bennigan's, taking yoga and Pilates classes with my wife, and I come home and there she is saying, oh, yeah, like...
You don't snap the front of her bra to tell her you're married. That doesn't work that way.
Well, ma'am...
I'm sorry. It just doesn't work.
The married men who snapped your bra strap, how many would you say...
There you go again with the smart-ass stuff.
No, she's coming on. She's saying all this stuff like she knows. Wait till you get your first job at Bucky's Law Office and you're welcome with a little snap of your panty strap, then you'll know.
Do you have any idea of the words that come out of your mouth? You don't seem to know what reality is and what women feel, or even in general what is right and what is wrong. If you did, you realize that you did, in fact, sexually harass this woman.
Ma'am, she's the one that still has my wedding ring. It got caught on a button on her blouse when I snapped her bra, but she has not given it back. She's the one that...
Wait. I didn't hear this. She has your wedding band?
Yes, sir. And she will not return it.
Well, it's evidence.
How did she get a hold of your band?
Because it got caught on the button on her blouse when I reached in to get a handful.
You...
Oh, yeah, when I sexually harassed her. Look, why even take calls from women, Mr. Henry? They're all going to gang up on me, and I'll take the woman's side.
Because you're wrong, and you need to
the way they all are.
You're wrong, and you have no case.
All right. She's got your wedding band, dude. Her attorney's got your wedding band. It's evidence. Because they're going to say, how did she get the wedding band?
Well, then I'll just say that she slept with me, and I left it at her house.
Then you'll lie. Then you'll make a mockery of the entire legal system,
and
then the entire frivolous lawsuit thing that you're talking about. You become frivolous.
Nobody will understand that I don't have bad breath.
Okay, but bad breath has nothing to do with sexual harassment.
Gloria Allred, why don't you snap your own bra and see what it feels like?
If she said you had bad breath, then you have other issues.
All right, thank you.
I don't have dragon breath, okay?
Thanks, Rebecca. Is that what this is about?
It is very hurtful.
Let me go over here to Tim. Tim, go ahead.
Yeah, this is Tim.
Go ahead, Tim. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Stephen Bozell.
Stephen Bozo?
Stephen?
Okay.
Okay.
I'm not ganging up on you, but let me tell you something. You're not much of a businessman.
How you figure that?
Harassment can be anything. You're saying that you have to actually grab? I've got $2, 15, 17. I've never snapped a bra strap. What you're doing is you're abusing your daughter.
Oh, come on, man. You know what? You're getting all... You've been reading too many comic books. Whatever happened
comic
to Dave?
Books? What, did you write one?
Well, how come you... All of a sudden, you're talking like Gloria Allred and all them.
Let me tell you something,
Bozo. Should I call you Tim Allred?
What she was telling you was you don't need a sip. You don't need a swallow. You need the whole damn bottle. Your breath stinks.
Okay, say that to a woman, and she sues you for sexual harassment.
Now, you reached in her blouse and grabbed her bra strap.
Okay, tell you what.
You're not only stupid, but you're a jerk.
Hey, Tim, by the way, next time you call, why don't you have more of that tuna fish sandwich in your mouth? Jesus, I can't understand.
Let me handle the caller.
Well, he sounds like he's got a mouthful.
Tim, are you eating lunch or something? I can understand Tim fine.
Why are you talking at me? Are you trying to sound like Bronson or something? You don't scare me.
Yeah, I don't want you scared.
Look at
you're
Tim.
Stupid and you're not a businessman, and you know what? I hope you get everything you deserve.
Well, in that case,
that's your business.
You know what, Steve? What we're trying to say is, look at the other side. Just the possibility that you got bad breath and you can understand this woman's entire case.
Right. But if she looked at the other side and just assumed that I assumed and just believed that she loved me, or not that she loved me, but if she would see my side of it, that she is in love with me.
What?
Who has said that? Who has said that? I haven't. Has the woman said she's in love with you? You've never said
that. What is this guy doing? Are you lighting a cigar through your ass or something? Or?
All right, hold on for a minute. 1-800-449-8686. Jeff, go ahead.
Hello?
Yes, sir, go ahead.
Yeah, you know, I'd like to ask him a couple questions if it's okay. How long did this woman work for you?
She was working for me from September of 2003 to early January of 2004.
Okay, so you just hired her, right?
Yes, sir.
And was one of the reasons that you hired her was because she was a hottie?
No, sir, it was not.
Why did you hire her?
Because the girl is attending UC Irvine, attending business classes. And I thought you would be a very good hire in terms of learning the management side of our business.
Well, I got to tell you, you're wrong. I run a business. I have over 75 people who report to me. I've been a business manager for almost 2 decades. And you do not make physical contact with your employees.
You never hook your finger in a panty strap or nothing like that?
Yes, but not to an employee. And not to somebody who is looking up to me as a role model. Okay.
See, this is a good point that this man's making. You hired this girl out of UC Irvine. She's taking business. She wants to learn the management side of business. She's working with you, with the architects, etc., and you're snapping her bra strap.
She put a bottle of Scope with plaque on my desk. You don't call that
anything. What you don't understand is this, is that she was giving you a hint, and you refuse to take it.
Hey,
I have a problem with my breath. And you know what? I brush my teeth every day and I floss my teeth. But I get close to a if I get too close to my coworkers, they're offended.
Well, why don't you try chewing gum?
Why is that?
Why don't you try chewing gum?
You know what? I've tried chewing gum. I even use mouthwash in the middle of the day sometimes because I'm trying to be sensitive to the people that have to work close to me during the working day.
You should try Breath Assure.
Look, if the girl was, let me tell you something. I've had women come on to me before, and I will tell you this. If she was giving you a gift of love, it would be flowers. It would be something that she thinks that you might like. Scope is not a gift of love.
Yeah.
But scope is her way of communicating to you that you need to do something about your breath. She can't stand to be close to you. And what you've done,
right.
what you're doing is you're deluding yourself into believing that this chick is hot for you, and she's not, and you refuse to let it go, and you're the one who's the problem, not her.
See, Steve...
Well, both you guys are going to tell me how it is that right?
No, hold on for just a second.
No, the fact of the matter is that you're in a position of power, and she is not,
right.
And you have abused your power with this woman.
Have you tried Altoids?
It's not about his breath, it's about yours.
Yeah.
All right, Jeff.
Well, look, I don't have a problem with my breath. I blow my breath on the mirror every morning.
But everybody else has a problem with their breath.
And I smell the condensation on the mirror.
It's not what you think. It's what other people think.
Let me ask you a question. When's the last time you went to a dentist?
I went to the dentist last month.
What's he tell you the problem is?
That's not the problem is not my problem. The problem is your problem, pal.
All right. Listen, Jeff, thank you very much. Let me go to Amy on the Phil Henry Show.
Has he ever tried one of them tongue scrapers?
Go ahead, Amy.
Yes, sir.
Yes, ma'am.
You was wrong for putting that lady bra strap. That's the first thing you was wrong for doing that. Then again, if you have...
Hello? Okay, I guess she's dead.
Yeah, I don't know what happened to her. She's... let's go to Scott. Go ahead, Scott. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, I can't believe how naive this guy is to think that that is not sexual harassment.
Well, I
mean,
no...
This guy must live in a cave or something.
It's not like I'm getting a boner when she walks into the hut.
Will you stop with that talk?
Well, everyone says I'm hot for her. I'm not hot for her.
I mean, I can't understand his definition of sexual harassment.
Well, according to the law in the state of California, and I don't know where you live, but you got to get a pretty good handful, okay?
I don't think
so. No, that's
not. Sexual harassment, it can be... It can be something said. It can be pictures hanging up on the wall.
You've got to be able to reach down and get a little, you know, maybe have a little early morning.
All right, that's all I want to hear about that. Amy, go ahead. Amy called back. Hi, Amy.
Hi, how are you?
Yeah, it sounded like you just you ran into a tree or something.
No. We got to cut down.
Yeah.
Oh, sir, you was wrong for putting that lady bra strap, first thing. You would not like for me to put on your wife's underwear strap, would you? That's not respect to no female at all.
If you pulled on my wife's underwear strap?
No, I wouldn't dare. You would not pull on my bra strap, and I'm going to cry about it. No, you will not.
Well, wait a minute. If I pulled your bra strap, you wouldn't cry about it.
No, I will not. You know what? And then again, you will remember that you would not pull down another lady's bra strap unless it is your wife. You are wrong.
Have you ever heard of the people who live on the coast of South Carolina? They're originally from Sierra Leone.
Will you stop already with this?
I have nothing to do with a bra strap.
Yeah.
Have nothing. It also do with that mouthwash that she gave you. It's only just for your breath. That's all it's for.
Okay, that's what I was going to say. You don't consider scope with Plaque Fighter to be a very intimate and loving gift?
No.
Well, that surprises me.
No. If she would gave you a bottle of cologne, I could see that. Anything else, no.
You know, Amy, can I say something? If you pulled on my wife's underpants, I'd sit back and watch and listen to a Melissa Etheridge record.
You know you're about as sick as you want to be.
He's a sick bastard, isn't he?
Isn't it, though?
Well, ma'am, let me just say this. I didn't know women like you ever wore bras. Thought you liked to just let them bounce free.
No, I wear bras.
You know,
and you're
just
as big as you want to be.
Yeah.
Like I said, you pull on mine, you would never forget it.
Yeah, and Mr. Bozell...
she just threatened me with violence. You're a witness
to
that, Mr.
Henry. You put on my bra strap.
Okay. What do you wear, two frying pans with chicken wire?
No, never mind.
All right.
You pull that bra strap of mine, you would never forget it.
Hey, you know, Amy...
Pull mine.
Mr. Bozell, your lawsuit is going to get pitched so far out of the courtroom, out of Superior Court, it's not even funny. You ought to sue your lawyer for taking your money, because your case is not going to be heard.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Have a nice night.
You too.
Bye.
Well, there you go. Two frying pans with chicken wire. 1-800-449-8686, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Taking talk radio to the next level. The Phil Henry Show is back.
In a minute, I'll give you some information. A new feature on our website I think you're really going to enjoy. It's something that comes from our show and you can involve yourself in. Now, I want to tell you about an event that I'm going to be at, and it was something that I immediately thought would be a lot of fun to do. And it's counter to just about anything I've ever been asked to do before. And I know a lot of people do these things, but I never was asked to do one until now. And it's at an event called Yeah Baby. Now, they say that this is the world's largest baby and family expo. On February 7th, it's going to be at the Anaheim Convention Center, and I'm going to be at the so-called Celebrity Reading Corner, and I'll be reading a story to kids. Now, I got four kids, so I know how it is to read to kids. My daughter used to love to read books, and now she can't stand it. When it was just the big words, she loved it. Now that the words get smaller, she thinks it all sucks. But reading's good, and kids need to read. Believe me, they need to read. Oh, my God, do they need to read. So come on out on the 7th of February, Anaheim Convention Center. It's called Yeah Baby. It's an expo. It's got family exhibits and all kinds of stuff, baby junk. Pick up a coupon good for half-off admission at a participating Babies R Us location. And there's tickets available for purchase at the Anaheim Convention Center box office or go to www.yeahbabyexpo.com. And I'll be at the reading corner. I'll be reading a story. Now, on our website, www.philhenryshow.com, a new feature is called Funniest Lines, the show's funniest lines. We obviously were given the idea by you guys who were sending in suggestions for the funniest lines you've ever heard on our show, and they're all listed, some of our favorites. We'd like you to send in more, because it's a lot of fun for us to read them, and it might be fun for you to recall them. For instance, Lloyd Bonafide once said, quote, "I got your hot dog swinging." Do you remember when Bob Green said, "Whenever you think of someone with hair, think of me"? Or, an even better Bob Green line, "I did it to spare her the pain of smelling like meat and celery." Or how about this wonderful line from Father McQuarters? Remember when Father James McQuarters said, "Who wouldn't let the good father give them a quick tickle and a look for an Arby's beef witch?" So if you've got an idea for a great line from our show, send it to phs@philhenryshow.com. That's phs@philhenryshow.com.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Email address, www.philhendry.com, and also our web address, our email is phs@philhendryshow.com, and web address, www.philhendryshow.com. There's a story here today about a pitcher in the Cleveland Indian organization that says he's sorry for his decision to appear in a gay porn video 3 years ago in Japan. It's one of those stories that really didn't piqued my interest when I first heard it, because nothing is off limits these days. Not that anything should be off limits, by the way, these days, among people. We're freer to share our lives, aren't we? That is, unless you're gay, of course, then it becomes an issue, especially in sports. In the world of sports, the proof that professional athletes are some of the most boneheaded individuals that the history of man has ever witnessed is in the way they deal with gay rights in professional sports. Now, the fact is, and this has been corroborated by gay players and Dave Pallone, who was a former umpire, strike-breaking scab, yes, but nonetheless an honest guy, and he was also gay, and he said after he was eventually run out of the game, among his many detractors, a guy by the name of Pete Rose, Dave Pallone said that you could fill out two rosters, two all-star rosters with the gay players in Major League Baseball. Now, you can say two rosters of players, that's one thing. All-star is what he said. Now, everybody says, oh, well, of course, Phil, you're not telling us anything new. I may not be telling you anything new. But here's the thing that Americans do that's really fascinating. Everybody likes to say, oh, I knew that. Oh, yeah, really? Then how come you weren't talking about it? Well, because it's nothing that... Oh, well, let me tell you something. Here's a cat that was playing Major League Baseball in Japan and appearing in gay porn, right? Now the guy's been signed by the Cleveland Indians, or at least was signed by the Cleveland Indians. He was signed with to a minor league contract with the Indians. He was one of Japan's top college pitchers. By the way, he says what a lot of these guys say. He says, well, yeah, but I'm not gay. Oh, okay. I mean, I just needed the dough, you know. I was just, oh, okay. So you'll just stick anything up there, man, for money. Is that it? Yeah. Okay, well, what are you doing Friday night? Because you know what? My wife's out of town, and... You know, there are more homosexuals in baseball. You know, honest to God, it is the most gay sport. Just not gay in the using it in the colloquial sense that kids use it. Gay as in the strict homosexual sense. More gay players, athletes in baseball than any other sport. It is rife with homosexuals from ownership on down. And I say that's the only good thing about it. That's the only positive about baseball. Is that the homosexual players tend, you know, homosexuals tend to want to play baseball. Now, I am not personally as big a fan of baseball as I used to be. Much of it has to do with the 94 strike. Baseball being a tradition-bound game, when you break that tradition, you destroy so much. And so, with the 94 strike went much of my affection for the game, because I couldn't look year to year to year and say, look at all the continuity, even through World Wars baseball. But as soon as a bunch of homosexuals got greedy, I mean, baseball players got greedy, why, the next thing you know, we don't have a World Series. Look, I'm honestly not making a joke. What I am saying is this. This is not an unusual thing. It's never been an unusual thing to know, for me anyway, that the professional athletes, you know, the world of Major League Sports is filled with homosexual players and athletes. But the fact that they don't want to talk about it is just, it's funny. It's hysterical, isn't it? I mean, these guys, these meatheads that play baseball, the straight ones, they want to pretend like, everybody's just there to have a shower and, you know, we're all guys and we're going to go out and we're going to bird dog some babes and, you know, we're going to be men. And the minute you say you're a homosexual or gay or you're a fag or whatever, you're blackballed, you're harassed, you're God knows what else happens to you. Pallone got run out of the game. Yeah, he was a scab, but a lot of it had to do with the fact that he was gay. And Pete Rose, who's, you know, this guy is one of the more Neanderthal jackasses ever to inhabit the uniform of a Major League Baseball player, and there have been tons of them. Rose was, what does that tell you? Pete Rose didn't like him. Pallone, you're okay in my book. Even though you're a scab, that's okay, man. We, you know, we all make mistakes. It's got nothing to do with your orientation. So now the Cleveland Indians are the first team in Major League Baseball that I can think of, and if you can think of another one, you let me know, that have on their roster an admitted homosexual. Oh, not an admitted homosexual, excuse me. A closet homosexual who came out of the closet, I guess. A closet homosexual who made a gay porn movie. How, maybe he's a closet heterosexual. I don't know. But they're as far as I'm concerned, they're the first team in Major League Baseball. They got a homosexual on their staff, on their pitching staff there, on their roster. And this is going to be hysterical to see how baseball deals with this, a sport that can't seem to deal with anything logically, can't seem to deal with any social issue, not since Jackie Robinson anyway, deal with any social issue, with any aplomb, with any, you know, anything resembling intelligence. They got a Japanese pitcher that was in Jap porn. You know, have you had anything unusual in your mouth lately? Was that the name of one of the movies you were in, man? I'd like to know how many homosexuals are on the Dodgers staff. You know what? I bet you they all left when O'Malley sold the team. I know Sandy Koufax was one. I'm just joking. I'm kidding around, Sandy. Now, come on, because I got me in a Dodger uniform, a picture of me when I was like 10, so don't be getting serious on me. You knew Lasorda was a proofter, didn't you? So the Cleveland Indians, who's next? The Toronto Blue Jays? You know how I know you were, kind of swinging on the wild side there, Tommy? All that Slim Fast you were drinking. That freaking watching your weight all the time. You know, it's a little metrosexual, man. You know what I'm saying? Asked whether possible hecklers will bother him in the United States, Tadano says he doesn't understand English, so it doesn't really matter. Yeah, if they laid it on Jackie Robinson, man, they're going to lay it on any guy that comes out gay in this game. You know, they called Robinson the N-word, every guy. You know, the St. Louis Cardinals didn't want to play baseball with him. The people hated his living guts because he was black. What do you think they're going to do to an out gay player? And this guy don't even want to admit it. Yeah, they'll lay it on him. Tadano said at a press conference called by the Indians Tuesday that he's not gay. All of us have made mistakes in our lives, said pitching prospect Kazuhito Tadano. He says he hopes to put the matter to rest. Hey, Tadano, I got a couple of words for you. Rots a rock. Put it to rest, my man. Every town you hit, New York, Chicago, Anaheim, Seattle, all those bergs, they're going to lay it on thick. Believe you me. But you know what's good about this? Now we're going to finally find out once and for all how many gays we got on the Florida Marlins. And how many fags in the New York Yankee organization. I'm Phil Henry. That's one bigot's opinion. That a very big bat you got there. You want to pitch to me? But I'll tell you one thing, Mr. Tadano. In San Francisco, you'll get a standing O. If you'll pardon the expression O. Anyway, 1-800-44, although he didn't play in San Francisco. He's going to play in Oakland. Same thing? No, I don't think so. 1-800-449-8686. Our email address, phs@philhenryshow.com. We'll be right back.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
No, really, as a matter of fact, you know what I think I'm going to do? I think I'm going to just stay on this baseball homosexual issue. Because, as you know, nothing makes me smile and nothing brightens my day like just dogging those guys in professional sports. And I haven't done it in a long time. Honest to God. So how do you guys, what do you think? What's your estimate, all of you professional players? How many homosexuals in professional baseball? 80 or 90%? Is Randy Johnson gay? Because he looks like one big, tall, cool drink of a fag to me. Baseball is, without a doubt, first of all, if you want to know the reality of baseball in the clubhouse, look at the face of Pete Rose. You are looking at the face of baseball. Look at that ugly Neanderthal mug. You are looking directly at the face of baseball, Major League Baseball. People like to talk about how aberrant he is. For like years, they talked about how he was the representation of everything great in baseball. Charlie Hustle. Yeah, Charlie Hustle, my ass. Sounds like his stage name in one of them Caballero movies. Sounds like Charlie Hustle in Tall in the Saddle. Bring a big bat. Whatever. Charlie Hustle, hey, Rose, I think you're a homosexual, you know? Honest to God, man, I have never seen you with a woman. Can you hang out at that restaurant across the street? You know, the one with the lousy Italian food? You're always in there. Now, really, I mean, here's a guy, you look at the kisser of Pete Rose, and that's baseball. Neanderthal, ugly, stupid, and dishonest. There you go. You got Major League Baseball. And by the way, congratulations to the Los Angeles Dodgers. I understand a man by the name of Frank McCourt is going to be taking over as the new owner. His bid is leveraged, which means the man doesn't have a whole lot of money to spend on the team. And so a ball club that started here in Los Angeles in 1958 under the ownership of the O'Malley's, a ball club that was sold by the O'Malley's in the 90s. And, you know, look, you guys can do whatever you want. It's your money. It's your team, really. Bottom line, all of us who think it's our team, right? All of us who grew up in L.A., who watched the Dodgers, sure. Yeah, it's our team, all right. Take a big, long look at who owns the ball club. That's whose team it is, man. And he'll change the uniform. Apparently, this guy, the word was they wanted to take the team out of Chavez Ravine and move it downtown. Move the stadium downtown, right? After they dragged all those Mexicans out of their homes in Chavez Ravine, now they want to move the stadium? You better go get those Mexicans and put them back in their shacks. What a disgrace that was. The history of the Dodgers in this town, before you start shedding tears over the Dodgers and who owns them, whether you got some lightweight who was put in there on purpose by Major League Baseball so the Dodgers will remain uncompetitive, so it'll give teams like the Kansas City Royals and the Tampa Bay Devil Rays a chance to win a World Series. And by the way, winning a World Series is about as valuable these days as pulling something out of a box of Cracker Jacks. Oh, look, I got a World Series ring. Well, good for you. I'd just as soon appear in a movie with Tadano. Let's call it, Jap. Or no. So it doesn't mean anything to win a World Series, so who are you guys kidding? So in the 1950s, they wanted to put public housing in Chavez Ravine, but what they have ultimately wound up doing is displacing a lot of people who'd lived there for generations. And I still have the memory of watching on TV when I was about 8 years old, L.A. County Sheriff, and I'm not blaming the cops, they go where the fat man tells them to go, pulling people out of their homes so they could put that ballpark there. And we went, and we flourished, and we gave the Dodgers the first 3 million attendance season in baseball history, and they became more a part of L.A. than they ever were a part of Brooklyn. Ever. And what is the thanks we get from Major League Baseball and Bud Selig? And by the way, I'm not blaming owners, too. The ball players, too. Since the ball players have got an insatiable appetite for cocaine, alcohol, women, guns, drug, whatever their problem is, they have to make more money. And so everybody's tapped out, baby, you know? Cut the budget, baby. So instead, we got the Los Angeles Dodgers now that are going to be a ball club that apparently can't field a competitive team. I don't want to be the doomsayer like these guys in the sports pages, because all of these clowns I read in the sports pages, all these guys want to do is weep about the good old days. The good old days are gone. Grow up. Koufax is up in wherever the hell he's up in, and he's watching... He's watching, he's going to try to get his hands on that latest one. Drysdale's dead. Campanella's dead. Ron Fairley is working for the Seattle Mariners in the name of Jesus. Hey, Chris. Chris.
Yeah, Phil.
Catfish Hunter played for the Oakland A's, not the Dodgers.
Sorry, dude.
That's okay. You know, Johnny Roseborough, where's he? Is poor Johnny passed on? It's done, babe. Kirk Gibson, I wouldn't know where he is. He's holding up a bridge someplace. Where's, what's his ass? Oral Hershiser. Where's Joe Ferguson? Where's Steve Yeager? Where's Ron Say? Where's Steve Garvey? Never mind about Steve Garvey. Where are those ball players, huh? They're gone, baby. Those days are done. It's a whole new era. It's NASCAR racing. It's Myth Online, baby. It's Madden 2003. It's the Super Bowl. It's Slammajama. It's Allen Iverson. It's hockey. It's those Japanese reality sports where the cat's dressed up in a big Michelin Man suit and he falls down on a bunch of logs. It's that crap, baby. It's Survivor. It's my big, fat, obnoxious Greek turd, but it ain't baseball. It's not baseball, okay? Why don't you guys over at the L.A. Times, the L.A. Daily News, and wherever else they quote, write, end quote, for a living, why don't you hire some guys that are plugged into the world, okay, instead of these cats that are waxing about the good old days of baseball, all right? Pete Rose is a turd. Remember when you guys were writing about what a great guy he was, what Johnny Hussley was? Hey, yeah, well, guess what? Remember when all you cats wanted him in the Hall of Fame? Now everybody all of a sudden wanted him in the Hall of Fame. For 10 freaking years, I was talking about how Pete Rose didn't belong in the Hall of Fame, and there wasn't one person out there with enough brain power to understand the argument. Now, all of a sudden, everybody gets it. And guess what? When they ask me, they say, what do you think, Phil? I say, I don't care anymore. Put him in the Hall of Fame. In fact, put the real Pete Rose in the Hall of Fame, tie him to his own bust, and then set the place on fire. There. That's what I think about the Hall of Fame. We got a Super Bowl coming up on Sunday. That's where the world's living today. Multicolor, gladiatorial, arena style, violence, sometimes pain, beautiful athleticism, 60 minutes, clocked, gridiron, territorial, everything that Americans are about. Baseball, and the other thing about baseball that's really funny is the illusion that it is somehow a manly sport. There's nothing manly about that sport. I hit ball, I run down to base. I'm going to stand there. It's like a game of freaking tag. That's what it is. However, since they got this gay guy now, I may start watching it again. Plus, your socks are too high, you fags. All right, now go to our website, Phil's Funniest Lines, our show's Funniest Lines. Here's another one. This is beautiful, man. And you guys sent them in at phs@philhenryshow.com. Jesus took four nails and didn't say a peep. Bobby Dooley. Here's another one. Hey, Wireman. Oh, wait, we already read that, did we? Hey, Wireman, what's the matter? Bone Man busy tonight? R.C. Collins. And here's one from Vernon Dozier. When you were a little girl, didn't you run through the sprinklers in your panties while your father was planting trees? All right, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. We also have the best of the Phil Hendry Show, The Death of Talk Radio, available online. We'll be right back.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Let's take a little look at Margaret from our show last night. Margaret Gray was on. She sits in first class all the time with Frank when she flies to and fro. And because of what she calls George Bush's war on terror, his stupid war on terror, you can't close the curtain between first class and coach anymore. She found herself being stared at by a man in coach. He happened to be a retarded man who was wearing Mickey Mouse ears, but she thought he was eyeballing her up and down, and we had a man call in who was rather upset.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold!
First of all, let me correct just one thing she said before the last break. They didn't tattoo us on the wrist, so she's just talking blah blah to be heard. Our tattoos are between our elbows and our wrist. I'm a survivor of Buchwald at 44. Onto her subject, which is completely ridiculous.
It's called Buchenwald, not Buchwald. That was Art Buchwald you were thinking.
You need to study Yiddish, lady, and you say it the proper way.
How old are you?
I'm 65.
So how could you have been? Could you have been at Buchenwald or at Buchwald?
Do the math, lady. I'm 44. Buchwald. I was 5 years old, and 45. I was 6 years old. I was born in 39.
If you were five, it must have been fun. They didn't do things.
Oh, come on! Don't be stupid.
Yeah. Thank you, Phil. Anyway, let's get to her subject here. This gentleman on the airliner that the passengers that took over, who on a cell phone called his wife in Pennsylvania he was calling from the midship's steward station. And that's where the curtain between first class and coach is. He was a coach passenger.
The man that was staring at me had his head tilted to one side.
Look, lady, that's your problem.
There was a retard.
That's your problem. That is absolutely your
problem.
There's
nothing more unsettling than for an overweight man wearing overalls and mouse ears, eating bologna and drooling, and looking at you. How am I? Oh, my God.
Three breaks ago, you described fondling in baggage. Is that a sex statement or what?
No, I was afraid that I would be fondled in baggage claim. And
you're sick. Don't you understand that you're sick?
How could that be sick?
That's not a normal concern.
When
I feel very secure in baggage claim.
You know something? When a 40-year-old man eating bologna and wearing mouse ears is staring at you throughout an entire plane ride,
lady,
it's safe to assume you're going to have some part of your erogenous area.
Don't you recognize it?
Fingered.
Yeah, you know, I'm with you, Don. I am.
Don.
You're making this into sexist, you know.
No, Don, bless your heart. Bless your heart, but you really need to heal your old wounds. Get over yourself and
whatever,
being at Art Buchwald's house.
You're whatever other talk show host talk is a left-wing wacko. That's how I see you.
You know something, Don.
You're totally out in space. You ought to have antennas coming out your head.
If a man is licking bologna, staring at you, what do you think?
If the man is developmentally disabled, as I said, if he is suffering from some kind of retardation or whatever you want to call it, then you just consider the source for the poor guy. He might have been fascinated by earrings you were wearing, some jewelry you were wearing. Maybe he was looking past you and out a window.
Well, you guys are really twisted.
And what makes you so special? What makes you the almighty here that gets to, just because you make more money, and you don't make more money than me, trust me, and I fly coach, what makes you so elite that you get to protect yourself? How about the other 15 passengers?
We were sitting in first class. Look, the man
How about
was
the rest of the people?
The man
there
was,
any other weirdos in first class?
Can I ask something? The man was licking bologna and sticking it on the window, and I'm supposed to sit there and think that's normal. And you call me sick.
Yeah, but put your eye blinders on and go to sleep. Pull the shades down so people can see the TV. Be a human being. Be cooperative.
Did you have any men licking bologna at Art Buchwald's house? No.
The man was at Buchenwald. It was a concentration camp. If you say Art Buchwald's house one more time, I'm going to hang up on you.
You see, Phil, you've been affected, you and this guy, by the George Bush War on Terror. So the both of you can go straight to the hot place. Goodbye.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
Well, I know that always tells me off. Anytime one of our characters says go straight to the hot place, you can all go to the nether reaches. You can all go down to you can cross the river Styx. That is a put down. There's Margaret, 1-800-449-8686. Email address, phs@philhendryshow.com. Our web address, www.philhendryshow.com. By the way, we're featuring our Valentine's Day special on our web address, our website, which is the Western Estates Spa Robe. I know you're going to get her flowers and jewelry and all that crap, but get her a little extra, you know, do something extra. Otherwise, what did he get you? Oh, he got me, you know, a diamond ring, but he got me the cutest robe. It says Western Estates on it. It's a spa. Chicks dig wearing those spa robes. You ever see them walking around? Have you ever been to a spa with your wife or your girlfriend? No? Well, I have. I've been to a spa with your wife and your girlfriend. No, I went with my old lady. I mean, my wife. You know sooner or later she's going to drag you to one. You got no choice. She wants to go and get the scrub, and she wants to get the rub down, and she wants to get the salt wash, and she wants to get the brush wash, and then she wants to be waxed, and then she wants to have the detail job. Then she wants to have her interior vacuumed. Anyway. And they're all walking around in them robes, you know, and they dig it, and they got the herbal tea, and they're living large. That's what, you know, the ladies like that. So that's why we have that item on our souvenir shop on our website. And plus, it's totally original, man. You get a Western Estate spa robe. It doesn't even exist. See? So her girlfriends go, oh, wow, where's that? And she can kind of look, you know, give them a cute little look like, well, you'll never go. You know, it's a really exclusive place that my boyfriend takes me. And you're the cheap creeps you guys are hanging around with. They'll never take you, see? So they'll all get pissed at her. And you know how women are. They'll get catty, and she'll lose all of her friends. 1-800-449-8686. Eric, go ahead.
Hi, how are you doing today? Thank you for the honor of speaking on your show here tonight.
Thanks for calling.
Absolutely. I think the first point that has to be made is that the lady in first class obviously was wanting the Hebrew National and not just some regular old bologna.
Okay.
And then finally, again, I'd like to say that your theory on baseball and your theory on sports in general, and, I mean, football and what you're talking about, Survivor, you're talking about people who are, like, embracing excessive individualism to try to rise up out of the ashes of, like, popular culture and try to set themselves apart. On one side, you have everybody trying to be like the other, and then within that circle or on the same plane, you have people trying to stand apart from everybody who's trying to stand like one another. Now, back to baseball and your criticism of the sport and how it's not...
By the way, that was the greatest series of comments on my show in months.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
That's the finest, smarter than anything I've ever said.
I'd have to say that. I appreciate your sarcasm. Thank you.
Well, I'm only half kidding.
Generally, I get people call the show and they're like,
you're blowing me away here, man.
All right, well...
You started with the Hebrew National thing, and you just keep right on blowing me. I mean, away.
It was all downhill from there. So the thing with baseball is that it started off, and granted it's not like this very much anymore, but started off as the American pastime, of course, and it is still a game of catch between a father and a son. And a lot of the generations, a lot of the social norms and, you know, the lessons and the preachings and whatnot are passed along in those, at least for the male generation.
You're talking about Little League and you're talking about youth baseball.
I'm also talking about just like my dad.
I'm talking about Major League Baseball.
But this, it's the sport. It's the institution.
No. That's where I believe you're wrong. The sport of Major League Baseball is a far cry from the Little League that we're trying to teach our guys, the little guys and girls, or the catch that you're talking about. Major League Baseball leaves all of that crap behind, and it becomes a part of the larger sports culture.
But I think your point was that, like, there's nothing good to be had from baseball, much like the other sports. Am I mistaken?
There's nothing good to be had. Let me just say this to you, Eric. I don't know how long you've been listening to the show. This is my philosophy in a nutshell.
This is my first time I've ever seen
it. All right. Well, this is my... Because I've talked about this for a long time. This is my philosophy in a nutshell. I go and I watch, and I hope that I'm entertained. If I'm not, then, you know, I've lost, you know, 20, 50 bucks, 60 bucks, okay? These guys mean nothing to me beyond the lines. They mean nothing to me. When I hear them quoted, when I hear schools named after them, when I, you know, Jackie Robinson and people like this, they're completely different. I'm talking about the rank and file of ball players.
Different breed.
Football players, hockey players, basketball players are good for only one thing and one thing. See, I'm different. I don't care the kind of money they make. I hope they make all the money in the world. I could care less. I just want a good value for my dollar. But when they open their big fat mouths off the diamond, when they become broadcasters, when they're quoted about life in general, when we get Warren Sapp and when we get some of these scumbags in the other sports, that's when I draw the line. And to me, these guys are nothing other than good ball players, you know, averagely good ball players. What does that mean? It means nothing. It doesn't even mean as much as a guy that can sweep a floor good. A cat that can keep your toilet clean is more valuable, ultimately, than a baseball player. A guy that can scrub the stains out of your bathtub is more valuable than a football player or a hockey player. And while we're on the subject, an actor or a talk show host or any one of these people who have suddenly been elevated to the pantheon of godlike status in this society because they are entertaining, because they play act in front of a camera, because they swing a bat real good, because they talk on a microphone. And who are the people out there that are doing the real frontline work in society? Who are the people that are braving every scumbag gang down in every gangland in America to go teach kids in inner city schools? Who are the people that are out there trying to teach adult literacy? They don't get any freaking notoriety. What do we call a hero nowadays? Michael Jordan. That's a hero. Who are the people that are out there helping feed individuals? I'm talking about donating to food banks, people that are taking time out of their lives to be big brothers and big sisters. Yeah, are they getting articles written about them? Anybody writing a big freaking column about them? If I got to read about Pete Rose one more day, I'm going to spit blood. I hope that guy dies. That's what I care. That's what I think of Pete Rose. I hope he dies in an automobile accident and we won't ever have to hear his freaking name again. I'm so sick to death of every last one of them. The Dodgers, they can go to hell as far as I'm concerned. I loved them once. They got a new owner. Apparently he's a cheap creep. So what? They're all cheap. Ball players too. Well, who cares what happens to the freaking Dodgers? And the Lakers, they can all go into jail and share the same bunk with Kobe for all I care. We live in a world today where the real heroes get no attention whatsoever. Nobody pays any attention to them. And the real patriots, anybody that actually tries to help their country, they're made fun of. They're mocked. They're called greedy. They're called, you know, they're called every name in the book. They're selfish. They are sycophants. They are leeches. Well, what's the rest of us doing other than sitting on our fat asses watching Survivor or whatever the hell else we're watching? Watching Major League Baseball or NASCAR or something, right? We're going to be watching the Super Bowl. I'll be right there with you. By the way, I don't think I'm any better than anybody else. Look what I do for a living. Are you kidding me? I make a fantastic living doing nothing. Hey, Rose, do us all a favor, by the way. At least get a freaking haircut, man. You look like one of those kids riding a short bus, you know? With the Mo Howard haircut. Next thing you know, you'd be licking bologna and sticking it on a window. Good God. All this attention to sports and entertainment is only weakening, not strengthening, weakening us as a people. It's time to get kids interested in math, in science, and I'm not even talking about literature. I'm not talking about being a freaking writer or being an art. We got enough bloody artists to last us to the end of time. We got more people screaming about art and respect for art. I just saw a thing in a paper today, and actually Janice showed it to me. It was about somebody was talking about freedom for television and radio. You heard that article, Janice? All right, when we come back, I'm going to tell you exactly what I think about the use of the word art and radio. And how nothing could be further from the truth. When you talk about the medium that I am in, the furthest thing from art is radio. And television's running a close second. All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
And now more on The Phil Henry Show.
A couple of things from the news. I just want to let you know this, that Michael Jackson, I don't know how pathetic and sad those little kids, you know the kids that are Michael Jackson's? Jesus, how sad it must be. Now I personally think they're probably better off with, and I ain't saying living with Michael Jackson, but this mother, this Debbie Rowe, she's opening her big fat mouth now, given her opinion about everything. She had these children on contract. She was a contract womb. She had them and gave them up. Gave them up. Sold them out, baby. Gave up her children for money. And now she's opening her big fat trap about Nation of Islam. I happen to agree with you, Ms. Rowe, but let me say it, not you. You got no say in it. I got more say in it than you do. What moral right are you? You got no moral prerogative at all, okay? But beyond that, there comes a time, I think, when you have to say, look, you know, if there's love, there's love. And I don't want to judge a guy how he raises his kids, but why don't you take the freaking bags and the stuff off their heads? What is it with you? What has he got? He's got veils over their faces. You got them hanging around that Nation of Islam. Let me tell you something. Nothing good can come of that. Those guys are mental. I'm telling you. Now, you can say that I'm a racist white boy. It's not the case, but you can say it. You can believe whatever the hell you want. But I'm telling you this right now. And I'd say it about those guys if they were white, pink, chartreuse, and I understand some of them are. At least their underwear. And some of those bow ties. Those guys are goofier than a freaking March hare, man. They are crazier than a crap house rat, all of them. Every last one of them. And they swoop in, man, whenever there's an African-American who is in trouble, and there are many, you know, what happens is they come in and they say, and probably with some truth, see, this is the way white people are. You thought, Mr. Jackson, that white people, you could live among them and they would accept you as you're a freak. Don't you understand, Mr. Jackson? You're a freak to them. Be back. Return to your own people. We love you. The Nation of Islam. And by the way, white people were created by a big-headed black scientist named Yalub or Yakub or Have You Got Any Lube or something like that. Here, it's all here in Elijah Muhammad's book, I Are Nuts. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad. That's a real hot one, ain't it, bow tie wearers? What's honorable about a cat that believes some goofball crap like that? You guys high or what? Every time they open their freaking mouth, you think they're talking of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad like he's freaking JC himself. He's some dude that got suckered by a con man, that con man back in Detroit, that Ward Ford or Wallace Ford cat, came up with some goofy religion. I mean, look at man, religions are a dime a dozen in America. We're starting one every 5 seconds around here. We got a new one on the way. It's called that UFO worship. Everybody gets together and sets fire to Burning Man, and they worship some cat, you know, coming down from a flying saucer. Now we got this whole religion, Nation of Islam, which is, I guess, is based on the Quran. I don't know. And it's about the goofiest freaking thing you ever heard about in your life. But you know what? I got to hand it to you guys because you're right. Michael Jackson is now seeing for the first time what America thinks about him. He's not popular anymore. He's not making good records anymore. He ain't cute anymore. He's a freak of nature and everybody's turning on him. And here comes Nation of Islam to say, this is what we mean. Black people will never, ever, 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 ever be accepted as equals by whites. Sooner or later, the white man is going to stick one in your back. I'm Elijah Muhammad.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-44. And now, here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Oh, we got a list of the funniest lines from the show coming up. We also have a mailbag, and I want to talk about this thing that I said I was going to talk about, and I didn't talk about it. And that is the idea that television and radio could ever possibly be art. See, I got into this last hour. It's kind of an area of you know, you guys have heard me in a very cranky manner expressing myself on this thing called art. You know, everybody's an artist now. I don't know whether you've noticed it or not. Oh, yeah. You could be on some cheeseball sitcom, something that like a monkey wrote that two apes could act in, but you're an artist, see? You can watch, you know, like that cat Mike Farrell and that organization that was against the war in Iraq. They were artists against the war, you know? Freaking movie actors and TV actors. Now, and I'll tell you why in a moment. This story will give you a hint. U.S. House lawmakers on Wednesday called on television and radio broadcasters to clean up their act by instituting stricter standards after renewed complaints about the coarseness of some programming. You see, so long as government controls what so-called artists do, they're never going to be artists, all right? That's why there's nothing we do in this medium that's art. We got guys in Congress telling us what to do, don't you understand? Guys that have never been broadcasters. Guys that have never been behind a microphone, they're telling me what to do. See, the National Endowment for the Arts, this is another good one. People say that since it's our tax money, I don't want to be funding degenerate art. Let me explain something to you fine people out there. If you give money to an artist, it's not your business to tell him what to do. He does what he does. If you like it, you give him more money. If you don't, you don't have to give him money. But you don't tell him what to do. Now, the U.S. government should never, ever, 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 ever have gotten involved with funding artists. I mean, I'm not talking about, like, some kind of a works program during a war, you know, where, like, the WPA, where they employed artists to do sculpture and stuff like that in a national emergency or whatever. I'm talking about just the so-called U.S. encouragement, U.S. government encouragement of artists has, what has it done? Now we got the NEA, and that we had, or not now, but we did have that controversy about who gets funded, why, when, where, and what. Look, if you're going to have an NEA, just have an NEA, let them fund it, and keep your big, fat, stupid noses out of it. Well, it's my money. Well, then don't give your money. Do something else with it. Smoke it. Burn it. Eat it. I don't care. As long as I'm in the radio business, and as long as I got to read stories here about U.S. lawmakers want us to clean up our act, there is never going to be any possibility that what we do in this business has anything to do with art. It's this business is for monkeys and chimps and apes. Anybody can sit behind this microphone. I know because they hire just about anybody to do these gigs nowadays. You can be you could have been yesterday working in a bakery. You could have been sweeping the street. They'll hire you to sit down behind a microphone, man. What makes you think this is art? Or has anything to do with the creative arts? I got a congressman I got to answer to. Bonehead Jones, congressman out of Freeport, New York, or whatever the hell it is. And he's going to tell me that it's just kind of dirty, or this is not good, or that ain't good, or this isn't right. Well, Mr. Henry, the airwaves are owned by the people. No, they are not. No, they are not. The airwaves are not owned by the people. There is nothing in law that says the airwaves are owned by the people. Would somebody please, dear Jesus, read the freaking law? And now this from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I am the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and though I had sex with a multiplicity of women, that's none of your business, white man. Now, Louis Farrakhan went out, and when I told him to whack Malcolm X, I'm sorry, are we on? All right, anyway, 1-800-449-8686. So that's that, and that's what I just wanted to say about that. I don't blame anybody for not wanting to give their money to crap. I, honest to God, I don't. But just once you do, then you got to step back, and you just got to accept the consequences. But I agree with you. And frankly, if I were an artist, I would feel a little sheepish about taking money from the government. I mean, honestly, you guys that are out there doing your stupid sculptures and all that crap that you do, what are you, taking government money for it? Is that what you're doing? I went down here to Hollywood one night with my wife to see this Karen Finley. You ever heard of her? She does this art. She was sponsored by the NEA. I'm telling you, it was the most boring night of my life. It was so terrible. I don't know what the hell she was doing. She sucked. She wasn't funny. She wasn't interesting. It was just one huge turd of a night. And my wife wanted to see it. Why? Because she heard it was so lousy, you wouldn't believe it. So she dragged me to it. And guess what? This chick got money from the NEA. But you know what? I don't begrudge her that. If that's they want to lay it on her, great. I don't give a crap. You can pay people anything you want. But I would say this to the artists that are taking the money. Jesus, don't you have any self-respect? What do you think's going to happen when you have your hand out taking money from the government for your paintings and your stupid-ass photographs and your dumb-looking sculptures and everything else and your dumb rolling around in honey, quote, performance art? What the hell you think is going to happen when you got your hand out taking their bread? Why don't you go out and freaking make a living? Go out and wash cars, man, and sell a damn painting. I'd rather talk about gays in baseball. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Coming up, we got good news. We're going into Pakistan to find Al-Qaeda. Oh, I'm sorry. Does that mean we're invading another country? Yes. All right, here is Victor. Hello, Victor.
Yes.
How you doing, pal?
Oh, pretty good. You?
Good, man.
All right, now, when you were talking about acting and so on and so forth, you completely skipped drama.
Well, I was talking about acting.
Yes, drama.
Well, drama, comedy, those are different kinds of acting, right?
Well, yes.
I was just talking
different
about
different kinds of stories and writing.
Right, right. Well, whatever. Stories, writing, drama, comedy, mm-hmm. Entertainment, play acting on the stage, putting on makeup, all that stuff.
Yes, pretty much.
Right. What was your point?
Well, when you say, acting is crap, television is crap.
Right.
That strikes me as all of acting, which I have spent my whole life doing.
Well, look, Victor. I don't mean to belittle what you do. If you're talented and you have an affinity for that and you have an aptitude for that, I say go for it. I'm saying, in the general sense, we have put so much emphasis on entertainment and art and this crap over the last 100 years in this society that so much else has suffered. And I'm personally, I think we have degenerated ourselves as the result. We look up to actors as if they're spokespeople for some insight that the rest of us don't have. and we look up to ball players as if they are heroes. Nothing could be further from the truth. An actor is a guy that puts on makeup, goes out, clowns around on a stage, and I'll give him my money or not, as the case may be. A ball player hits the ball real good out of the ballpark, blah, blah, blah. But in today's society, we have these people elevated to some pantheon of deity.
Well, as I've seen, I'm not going to say baseball, but acting and music.
It's all the same bloody thing. It's all entertainment, in my opinion.
But don't they reflect the views of the society that creates it?
I believe you probably heard a teacher tell you that.
A what?
Did you hear a teacher tell you that? It sounds like something. I heard that in my drama class. You know the sport. Or as Plato said, we need our sports. They reflect our subconscious, right? Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know about sports,
but I do know acting, that you want to...
I'm going to tell you something. There's no difference between baseball and Shakespeare. None.
I disagree with you there.
Why? Do you think you're smarter than a baseball player? It's got nothing to do with intelligence. You probably are. It has to do with its value to the society. And Shakespeare is about as valuable to me and to the rest of us as baseball. I take from it what I will, and by the sound of Shakespeare, I take from it what I will, and to thee and thither, I will cometh theeth into thy boudoir.
So anyway, we're getting together tomorrow night, and he's bringing along a friend of his. You want to come about 8 o'clock?
Sure sounds like fun. I hear he's really a stud.
Yeah, he's great.
I say, what?
Oh, wrong movie, dude. Wrong movie, brother. All right, 1-800-449-8686. So anyway, we're going to go into Afghanistan or Pakistan. We're going to get to Al-Qaeda. Question. After everything we went through in Iraq, should we do that? I mean, we are going to go get bin Laden. I heard everybody say, why aren't we going to get bin Laden? Well, we're going to go in and we're going to get him. Now, I do realize that we're supporting Musharraf, who is the dictator there in Pakistan, or I should say the president of Pakistan. But people don't want us supporting dictators anymore, I thought. But it may help us get bin Laden. See, the world just ain't a simple little place. It ain't patty cake, baby. It's a lot tougher and a lot more complex than some people would like to admit. All right, we'll talk about that coming back. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Time out for a look into the Phil Hendry Show mailbag. Phil, I've heard Glenn Beck ripping you off before. I heard him do a Lloyd Bonafide-like character, but this morning takes the damn cake. He was doing a Jeff Dowder-type character complete with bong hits. Unbelievable. Mark Maughan in Newport News, Virginia. And I looked into the Glenn Beck ripping me off thing. Apparently Glenn's been doing these characters for a while. The difference between my show and any other show is that we do characters and the audience calls thinking they're real. Nobody else has ever done that, nor will they ever do it. If you ever hear anybody doing that, you let me know. Because then they'll be ripping me off, see? Okay. Phil, you said on tonight's show that young rock stars die choking on their own vomit, but old rock stars never do. Big band leader Tommy Dorsey died choking on his own vomit. Really, huh? After taking his nightly sleeping pills, Tommy wasn't an old rock star, but an old big band star. Tommy Dorsey and Jimi Hendrix died the same way, and now they're together jamming Charlie in Long Beach. I think it's a little presumptuous for us to guess who's jamming with who, right? Because first of all, you don't know whether those guys are in heaven or the hot place. Phil, last night you wondered what kind of world we informed people are living in. Easy, not the world of denial you are currently inhabiting. Tell me, Phil, where does your hypocrisy end? When are you going to hold the Bush cartel responsible for their numerous and documented high crimes? Or are you going to spend the rest of your adult life living and succumbing to the transparent ploy of the culture of fear Bush has foisted upon the American people and used as a political tool for re-election since 9/11? When are you going to begin caring again about our nation's status in the world community? You agree with his failed foreign policy. Is there anything else he does you consider the ramifications of? Little suggestion for you. How's about you start thinking about something other than the war and go through all the data surrounding all of his other policies and consider whether or not you agree with him? If you do, do all of us thinking actual Democrats a huge favor by declaring yourself to be the Republican you've obviously let Bush's culture of fear turn you into. Mom. No, I'm sorry. Mark Bittman. P.S. Oh, and the answer to your simplistic question of why we didn't just grab the oil back during Gulf One is easy, because it wasn't, as it isn't now, within our rights to do so under international law. You know, the international laws we worked so hard to establish? I thought we were breaking international law. Isn't that what we're doing by going into Iraq? So if we broke international law, why didn't we take the oil back then? That would be breaking international law. And then we could say that it was not breaking international law. By the way, if we're so nefarious, how come we didn't plant weapons of mass destruction in Iraq? Whatever happened to that? Remember when people said, yeah, well, if they find any, it's because we planted them there. Well, why didn't we plant some? Because if we did, you guys would have said they were planted. So how come you guys don't think we plant things? All right, what else? Phil, I love the character R.C. Collins, the military brat, but I'd like to know if there will ever be a day when his voice deepens and he becomes a grown man. Malik in Atlanta, Georgia, not too far from the Hillbilly Police Force in Tennessee. Rest in peace, Jam Master Jay. Dear Phil Hendry, the past Christmas, I bought 3 copies of The Death of Talk Radio, one for myself and 2 for friends who were Phil Hendry virgins and are now hookers. I mean hooked. However, the best thing about these gifts is that the proceeds go to my friend's place. My favorite cut, You Islam. My all-time favorite, Steve Bozell at the fireworks display when he has flashbacks and is going to sue California, and he produced Mud. Enjoyed meeting you at the Luxor. Looking for the next opportunity, Lee Tarbox, Houston. Hey, Phil, I was wondering whatever happened to your TV pilots and if NBC and Fox, and when it will be on TV. Jamie. Thank you very much. No, the answer to that is the NBC pilot didn't go. Mr. Lloyd Zucker, the president of the network, felt that Whoopi and, what was the other one? Happy Family were funnier. And so, and I believe he's now going to New York to wash and wax cars. No, he's been kicked up. He's been promoted. For what, we don't know, but he's been promoted. All right. Phil, I'm a big fan of the show and a website member, and anyway, I'm an English instructor at a community college in Honolulu, Hawaii. In my short story and novel class, I'm focusing a lot on satire. In order to introduce satire to my students, I played the Margaret Gray and her baby makeover clip for my students. Needless to say, many of them laughed, and far too many of them assumed Margaret was real. What followed was an interesting discussion of what Phil is satirizing American culture and why. It was enormously effective teaching aid, and in that regard, I read that the way it was written, I swear. Did you get it? Jerry Saviano, Honolulu Community College. Phil, I'm sick and tired of the talking heads on TV shows claiming that President Bush knew there was no weapons of mass destruction. Any open-minded individual would realize that if needed, President Bush knew there were no WMDs, he would have made sure that we found some. That's what I was just saying. I'm sure between Cheney, Rummy, et al., they could have easily accomplished this, making sure some of them were stamped made in France in the process. Any intelligent person who then presented with reliable information that Iraq had WMDs, coupled with the fact that Saddam was willing to risk the destruction of his country by not allowing inspectors to search for non-existent WMDs, would have come to the same conclusion as the president. If my daughter comes to me and says her brother has cocaine in his room and the kid refuses to let me in, what other reasonable, make that responsible conclusion can I come to? You'll be damn sure I'm breaking down the door. A loyal backstage pass holder, keep up the good work, Michael Giannopoulos, Earth. Dear Mr. Hendrys, hang in there for Michael Jackson. He is innocent. You and I both know that. I still believe this. And yes, indeed, kids do lie for their parents. I know this firsthand. My oldest daughter lied about being molested and made up some real big lie with the help of the investigator telling her what happened. She is now 30, T-H-I-R-D-T-Y, years old. She told me this after I talked to her before he was convicted. Pamela. Phil, the best show ever was Phil's stirring rendition of the events surrounding the Whitechapel murders or the case of Jack the Ripper. He read it in a Halloween night, and it freaked me out. I think that was about 4 years ago. Hope that you can do that again. It still sticks out in my memory as the best radio in a long time to this day. All the best, Brian Sylvia. It says here, Dear Phil, caught the Art Bell send-up last week. It was the funniest thing I've heard in some time, funny enough to get me to part with $6.95 a month for a backstage pass. In an industry where safe has become the mantra of PDs, your show is a hurricane of fresh air. Thanks, Phil. 10P to 1A has now become the best part of my day. Jim Brady, Clear Channel, Hudson Valley. Hey, Phil, I wanted to say that my favorite line was said in a Larry Grover bit where Larry is upset because the other men in his racquetball club make fun of his uncircumcised penis in the shower room when he told his mother of his friends calling him, can I say it? Missile dick. Not only did she laugh, but behind his back you could hear his mother mocking, 3, 2, 1. We have liftoff. Keep up the good work, Sam in Seattle. Thanks, Sam. We'll be right back. We've got some of our funniest lines from the show. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Okay, listen, we had Larry Grover on a show yesterday talking about how the Democrats should just give up running in November because they got no prayer against George Bush. It'll show a united front. And what else? I forgot, man. Oh, yeah, he says if the Democrats get elected, 3,000 more people die. So the slogan was something like, don't let 3,000 more die. Wait till 2008. That's it. Here, anyway, here's Larry Grover.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
George Bush is the one that sent our American people over to those foreign countries to get killed. Right or wrong?
No. Wrong. He sent them over to those foreign countries to defend this country against terrorists.
Yes.
Yeah. So you were wrong. He didn't send them over to get killed.
Do you honestly think that a Democratic president will not do the same? Do you honestly think what happened when Bill Clinton was in office? We didn't have any.
He didn't do it. Yes, we did. We had the World Trade Center garage bombing. We had Nicole was bombed, and we had two embassies bombed in Iraq, Africa. Where were you? Were you reading newspapers back then, or were you like Osama bin Laden? You wanted to play hacky sack with?
Will you stop with the hacky sack?
Well, he's talking about Clinton. Jesus, they blew up a freaking garage in New York. They killed people on the coal, or maybe they don't count because they're soldiers.
I can't even make my point.
Huh? What's your point?
My point is, it doesn't matter. People are dying. People are going to die regardless of whoever's in office. It does not matter if it's a Democrat or if it's a Republican.
Are you Chinese?
Excuse me?
Are you Chinese?
Why would you ask me a question like that?
Well, I just want to know, are you or are you not a Chinaman?
I am not a Chinaman.
All right. Therefore, as an American, you would know that we have soldiers in uniform who are ready to go fight and die for this country, if necessary, in defense of this country.
Yes, I believe. Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Now,
are you one of them?
Eh?
Are you one of them? You're talking.
One of what?
One of the soldiers you're talking about.
No.
You're over here speaking about, oh, you love your country.
Yes.
I do too. You love your country.
Yes, sir.
You die for your country, but yet you're out drinking beers and playing bingo with your mother.
Yes, sir. I'm playing bingo.
Besides running your mouth. What are you doing?
I'm telling you that George Bush should run unopposed so that we don't have
unopposed
1 billion Chinese thinking that we're weak because we got these Democrats. I want to present a united front to the Chinese.
Osama bin Laden honestly thinks George Bush and George Bush Jr. are weak for the simple fact
weak.
That he attacked.
How can he think they're
Excuse
weak
me,
when he
sir?
When we bombed his ass out of Tora Bora, he had to go running off into the arms of a Paki, into the arms
sir?
Of his Paki lover.
Will you let this man talk, please?
Yannick thinks that George Bush was weak because he attacked the U.S. of A. when George Bush was in office. Not when Bill
he attacked
was in
the
office.
USA when Bill
if
Clinton was in office. In the World Trade Center bombing in 92, it was Osama bin Laden. What, are you a Chinaman?
You already asked him that, if he was a Chinaman.
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
Are you a Chinaman? Then you would know. Anyway, that's Larry Grover. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. We have coming up more great lines from our show, kicking off a feature on our website. The show's funniest lines, going to read those in a minute. But I was reflecting here just for a moment on a couple of the emails we had. And I just simply had to say something. Because I realized what it was. I went to New York 6 weeks after 9/11 and the World Trade Center. I saw the pile. I'm not talking about people living in the Northeast who actually went there. The rest of the country saw what happened on television. And many people were affected by that. But it's a new level of dumb to say that George Bush created a climate of fear. It's a new level of dumb. And no, I will not give up my membership in the Democratic Party. I'm a Democrat, man. And you know what? This is what a Democrat looks like. I am not anti-Bush. I'm pro defending my country and loving my people and making sure that people have what they need in a realistic way and not in these anachronistic, archaic, idiotic ways that the Democrats, the traditional or the new school or whatever you want to call them, continually try to throw out there. Climate of fear that George Bush created. I went to New York 6 weeks after 9/11. I saw the steam coming up out of the pile. The metal was still hot 6 months later. 6 months later, they were still pouring water on that pile because there was metal buried in the ground that was still triple digits in temperature. 6 months later. And day and night, they were pouring water on that pile. And police officers and National Guardsmen. And on the fences, the pictures of the people. Janice was just in New York last weekend. She says you can see the shrines, the impromptu shrines that people erected around the World Trade Center. They're still there. And you're saying George Bush created the climate of fear. I heard Howard Dean the other night, and among the many dumb things that that man has said, he said this, and he said it in front of a room of typical, really shallow-thinking people. He said, the one thing that we need to get back in America that we've lost is our sense of community. And I asked myself, you know, I don't know what world that cat was living in, but before September the 11th, 2001, nobody gave a crap about anybody else in this country. What sense of community was there? I ask you, seriously. And I voted for Bill Clinton, and I admired the man. But what sense of community did we have in America in the 90s? With everybody sucking the big hooter of money, making their dough on the .com and the NASDAQ. What are you talking about, our sense of community? You want to know that in the last 2.5 years, I have felt in my country, the very first time in my life, a palpable community and patriotism. It came as the result of the attacks of 9/11, and it was horrible, but I've actually felt it. I've seen it. You know, there are people hugging cops in New York in October of 2001. When's the last time you saw that? These cats, man, and this pitch is the biggest con job, and the other members of the Democratic Party that are buying it are, I'm sorry, you are stupid. You're rank and file dumb. George Bush's climate of fear, huh? And that guy made a very good point. If Bush said that he knew there weren't any weapons, he knew that there were weapons of mass destruction there, and then we didn't find any, why didn't he fake some? I guess he doesn't sink to those levels when it doesn't suit the logic of the people that criticize him. Is that it? Now, I got another piece of bad news for you. This is going to be horrible news because The United States military is going into Pakistan at the invitation of President Musharraf to try and take out Al-Qaeda. Now, we've been prohibited from doing that up to this point, but Musharraf was the subject of a couple of assassination attempts recently. He's petrified that his government is in trouble. And this is all we needed to hear. This is all Bush needed to hear. I don't know if you saw the movie The Godfather. You remember the scene where the senator is covered with blood and there's a dead hooker? And Tommy, the family attorney, shows up and says, "We're your friends now, Senator. We'll help you." And they actually set him up. That's Musharraf. He's there covered in blood with a dead hooker. And America's standing there saying, "Who's your daddy? Who's your friend?" Because he ain't got no friends now. He got no friends anywhere. Well, we're his friend. All you got to do now, man, is play ball away. We want you to play ball. Now, what are we going to do? Well, we're going to do what I hear a lot of people think we ought to do, and that's, why are we going after Hussein when we ought to be going after bin Laden? Well, we're going after bin Laden now. Now, how do you feel? Huh? You feeling okay about that? Now, guess what? To go after bin Laden, we got to get in bed with a dictator by the name of Musharraf. And if you start in on that tired argument about, well, America's always been in bed with dictators, if you want to give me a history lesson, save yourself the breath. I know the history better than you do, okay? Go talk to somebody else. I'm talking about the here and now and the logic of how we go on from here. Not how many books by Noam Chomsky you read. And by the way, Noam Chomsky is a befuddled old man. That guy is not living on the planet Earth anymore. And I know you don't even know who the hell it is I'm talking about, but I'm just speaking to my intelligentsia, NPR, Pacifica Radio, clueless friends. Now dig this. We're going to go in there, we're going to get that guy bin Laden. And we're going to have to go in there to Pakistan, and we're going to help out that guy Musharraf because he needs help. He's a dictator. He's a piece of crap. But guess what? We're going to use him. Now, I want you to watch this because this you're going to be able to see from the beginning to the end how American foreign policy has ensured your way of life. That's right. That's right, baby. That nice way of life that you got. It came at the cost of a few lives here and there, some of them innocent. What, you want us to go back and dig them all up? Now, this is exactly how it works, and you're watching it unfold before your very eyes. Musharraf's a dictator. He's got a lot of fundamentalist scumbag Muslims over there that want him out. And when I say scumbag, they're no better than he is, and he's a murderer. He's a murderer, Musharraf. But you know what? He's going to be our friend for the time being because he's letting us go into Pakistan to find a guy that we want to find. His name's Osama bin Laden, and we want to stretch that guy's neck, right? So we're going to use this guy, Musharraf. We're going to go ahead and we're going to make him feel nice and make him feel secure. And we're going to head off all these fundamentalists and we're going to kick some ass over there in Pakistan. And guess what? When the day comes that we can no longer use this guy's help, when he is no longer our friend, when he's expendable, his ass is out the door too. Just be thankful that the government you live under is the United States government and not the Pakistani government. Now, that's exactly what's happening. That's how the game is played. That's the world. Now, if you think it's wrong, well, we can let bin Laden sit there in Afghanistan and, you know, continue to plot, and we can pull out of Iraq, and we can come back here to America, and we can become an equal nation of partners. An equal, a society, a community of equal partners, right? Where everybody is not trying to get an edge, huh? Have you ever seen a business world work that way? What makes you think countries work that way? It's not human nature. It is not the nature of people. All right, when we come back, we'll get funny with our funniest lines from the show. Our email address, phs@philhenryshow.com.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Yeah, baby, the world's largest baby and family expo is February 7th and 8th at a new location, the Anaheim Convention Center, and I wouldn't even be telling you about this were it not for the fact that I'm going to be at the Yeah, Baby Convention. I'm going to be at the celebrity reading corner, reading stories to the kids. Now, children 10 and under are going to get in free. Admission's $10. And here's what they have at Yeah Baby. They've got all kinds of baby stuff. Stuff for your baby. All kinds of expos, family entertainment, exhibits, one-stop shopping, all the latest and greatest products and services, and a lot of the merchants that are participating have contributed, including Babies R Us, which has you can pick up a coupon good for half off admission at participating Babies R Us locations. Anyway, to make a long story short, going out there, we will also have our Best of the Phil Henry Show 2003 CD, The Death of Talk Radio. And at 12:30 on Saturday, I'll be there on February the 7th at the Celebrity Reading Corner reading a story. I'm supposed to pick out a story to read. I don't know which one I'm going to read. Now, Maria used to play the Polar Express for the kids. You know that one? They're making a movie out of it now. And we have it on tape as read by William Hurt. It's really great. Every Christmas, Maria would make the kids sit down and listen to it. And now, of course, they're too big. Now they're just too cool. So I don't know. I'll find some. Anyway, it'll be on February the 7th, and it'll be at the Anaheim Convention Center. 1-800-449-8686. Now, here are some of our lines that we've been getting this evening. Funniest lines from the show's archives. Eric Hester was a guest we had who asked the question, haven't you always wanted to draw down on your parents with a laser-sighted hunting rifle? Eric Hester. Jay Santos said, quote, to distract the black man, I will throw him a basketball or hand him a 40 in order to intercept the white woman and get her to safety. Father McWhorter on Cardinal Law, Bernard Law, this guy was one hell of a priest. He was one son of a bitch of a priest. Bobby Dooley said, smoke will come out of your Walmart pants a lot faster than my Ann Taylor's. Here's one from R.C. Collins who said, you'd make a hell of a mother, Mrs. Brady. Lloyd Bonafide probably hit an all-time low on our show when he said, in Korea, if we wanted to get back at someone, we'd Vaseline up their blank and have our way with him. Here's one from Clara Bingham to her nephew Robert after he was raping her and her sister. She says, Robert, that's just wrong. I know your aunt hasn't had a man in a long time, but that's just wrong. And those are the ones we've received this evening, which will be going up on our website, www.philhenryshow.com, under the show's Funniest Lines segment. Oh, my God. Hey, by the way, James Brown is in jail. You know, I don't really give a crap much about James Brown, but I looked up something. James Brown and Jim Brown, right? Neither one of these guys have ever been convicted of beating up a woman or being abusive to a woman ever. You know, there's a perception that Jim Brown, the football player, beats on women. He's never been convicted of any such thing, ever. He's been charged. He has never, ever been convicted of any such thing, and neither has James Brown. So you know what? I'm thinking Nation of Islam's right, man. The black man, he can't get a fair shake in this country at all. Well, look at that, man. I mean, it's the perception that James Brown has been beating up women. He got busted again for allegedly punching out his wife. But every time they put this guy in the slammer, it's not for beating up a woman. It's for waving a gun. The guy got convicted for attempted murder or something, right? Well, guess what it was? He was waving a gun around in traffic at some people. Had nothing to do with his wife. And Jim Brown, I looked into this whole allegation, a very early allegation in the 60s of something having to do with a young woman. Oh, well, guess what? He was having a couple of pops with a white chick. And back in the day, man, ain't no white cops wanted to see a black guy doing that. So now the perception is, look, I ain't no fan of Jim Brown because he sounds like an idiot and he looks like one too. He used to play great football, but wearing that freaking beanie, man, will you get that beanie off your head? I don't know what you think you are. What do you think you're down in freaking Nairobi or something, man? You're living in America now, okay? You know, let me tell you something. By the way, Nation of Islam, I was looking on their website. It says, you know, we want a separate state, and we want this, and we want that. Let me ask you seriously. If you wear a bow tie, listen, I want to ask you this question. Where are you going to get it done but here? Huh? Honest to God. Answer me honestly. What do you think you're going to do? Where do you think you're going to go? What country do you think you're going to make? Huh? If you can't get it done here, you'll never get it done. Anywhere. Where? Africa? Good luck. This is the best thing that ever happened to the freaking Nation of Islam, man, getting formed in America. If I were you guys, man, I would go and I would take that hat away from Jim Brown forcibly. I think he thinks he's Muslim, but I don't think he is. Is he? I'm going to have to check my Quran for that beanie under beanies. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.